you've played Final Fantasy Adventure on a phone?
On like a flip phone. Yeah, old. Wait.
Who are you?
I don't know if you can play it on a flip phone. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Noel.
Lynn, right?
I go by Noel sometimes. Don't you call me that?
Maybe. And this is episode 227, and the PlayStation 5 controller has been announced and revealed this past week to varying opinions. It is going to be called the DualSense Wireless Controller. Some of the key features: haptic feedback, adaptive triggers. It's got a built-in microphone array, new create button instead of that share button. I think they're going, it looks to be going USB-C instead of that micro, whatever they were doing.
That's nice.
Yes.
And I think they're still maintaining a headphone jack as well. One of the key things as well, they are not, it does not appear, at least in this color scheme, that the square, triangle, X, and circle buttons are colored. It's kind of just a minimalistic type of look and feel, so it seems. Guys, you've seen the controller, you've read about it, we've talked about it a little bit. What are your initial thoughts on this?
I am mad because I'm a traditionalist and the colored buttons is not okay. It's a PlayStation controller. I don't care about the two-tone thing as much. It's ugly, but whatever. And I'm not okay with them changing the name to DualSense instead of DualShock 5 because I'm a traditionalist. So I hate that. And they should change the color of the controller. It looks really bad to me. I'm in the camp that's kind of angry. Like, why did you think that looked better than just a solid color?
Kenny?
No opinion.
Nolan does have strong opinions. My opinions are much less strong. But I'm skeptical.
Okay, of who and what?
The that did sound like a conspiracy thing. Like they're not actually making a controller at all. No, just some of the claims, like the built-in mic, I don't see that working well. And it's
no,
supposed
but it's
to,
good.
Yeah, it. I don't know. I'm just skeptical in general about new things.
I like a lot of the decisions. The haptic feedback thing is good. I think it's going to feel good on the bumpers. Like, it's going to have different resist feel to it when you're like either shooting or driving.
I wondered what they meant by haptic feedback that was different than just like slightly more advanced vibration.
Well, see, I think that adaptive, I think the adaptive triggers are what your is more of the L and R's where you're going to feel that haptic feedback. I thought the same. I thought that they've had kind of rumble, HD rumble features before.
But that's,
right.
That
it sounds
is
like a
different.
Fancy name for just we have more rumble packs in there and maybe in different places. I don't know. Like in my mind, unless it's haptic feedback, it's doing something more than motion. Does the thing heat up if you go into like a hot area of a game or get cold
no.
or like blow wind on you? It implies more than I'm sure it can deliver.
It has more sensitive vibrations is kind of what it is, like very small ones. So like, I don't know, if you're driving over dirt road, it's not going to vibrate like the old controllers would just straight vibrate. It's going to be like very slight.
I'm skeptical.
Pulsing.
When I can put on a glove and like touch things in a game and it feel like what's happening in the game, that's haptic feedback.
You're a pervert.
You are a pervert, unrelated to this conversation. Just you're a pervert. But I mean, I love everything about the controller. I do question built-in microphone. That's always like, is that going to be anything worth of quality? But if anyone can do it, Nintendo can. I like the look of it. I like the minimal look. They're going to have different color schemes, of course, right? But
maybe not
for sure they are. For sure they are. But I like everything that they've presented so far. I know that there's mixed opinions, but despite the controller, a lot of people are still super excited about the PlayStation 5, which is the follow-up console to the PlayStation 4, which is now home to the brand new Final Fantasy VII Remake, which I still haven't played and am very bitter about it.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised you haven't just gone out and bought a console specifically for this.
I'm not. Well, that's not him.
It's not at all, but
really banking on me mailing it to him.
It would be.
Maybe he should check his mail today.
Yeah, and I might have a PlayStation 4 sitting
there.
Maybe
he will.
I'm really sad. I really don't want to stay on it because I really am.
Yeah, like, I'm sad for you. It's not okay.
Other people are playing my game, and it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, just go buy it. You deserve it. Like, just do it.
I'd have to buy a PlayStation 4, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and an Elgato Degato, whatever it's
plus,
called.
Yes.
Plus a TV.
No.
I can't play on my monitor?
Yes.
I don't know.
Surely. You have an HDMI port on your monitor.
Need another HDMI cord.
It comes with one.
He's got to start paying for electricity to his house.
I need a Buster Sword. This is getting expensive.
But you would pay that price to play Final Fantasy VII Remake, your favorite game of all time, remade in HD, beautiful graphics, amazing. Right.
You'd like to think I would.
You'll play with cards.
I'm going to figure it out. I mean, I've got to play it at some point, and it's exclusive to PlayStation 4 for an entire year, and I'm not going to wait that long. So reviews are coming in. It's looking good. People are confused at how it ended. They're referring to Kingdom Hearts and saying the confusion and complexity there, which is making me worry just a little bit. But I want to get into it. Final Fantasy VII Remake is right around the corner for me, which of course is in the same series, maybe, as our retro game of the week. Final Fantasy Adventure.
Overview.
Final Fantasy Adventure, unlike Dustin just implied, is not a Final Fantasy game. This is actually the first game in the Mana series, the Seiken Densetsu series. Came out on the Game Boy in the early 90s, 1991, and did start as a Final Fantasy spinoff and is even called Final Fantasy Adventure. But that's primarily to monetize the hype of Final Fantasy's popularity as a series, because despite Chocobos and a few other places where there was clearly some overlap initially, this game became something completely distinct from a Final Fantasy game.
And Dustin, are you mad about that? Or is this okay?
Am I mad that it is a part of Final Fantasy or not fully?
Like, it's technically a Final Fantasy game.
I've never played Final Fantasy Adventure before. That's important to know. And I think neither of you have either.
I had. On mobile, actually.
Game Boy is mobile.
I mean a phone, bro.
Oh!
You've played Final Fantasy Adventure on a phone?
On like a flip phone. Yeah, old.
Wait. I don't know if you can play it on a flip phone.
I played a Final Fantasy Adventure game on a flip phone, whether it was this one or not.
I had never played Final Fantasy Adventure. I am a huge Final Fantasy fanatic and have played all of the mainline Final Fantasy games, some of the side adventures as well. Have never played a handheld one. That's not true. I played Crisis Core. I'd never played a Game Boy Final Fantasy. I'd never played any of these. And so coming into it this week, I didn't know what to expect. I knew that it was Final Fantasy in name, but knew that it was distinct from the series and that it was more so a part of, or the start of even?
Yeah, the start of.
The Mana series. Weird. I'm neither here nor there. It's not a Final Fantasy game, though.
Not really.
No, but it's interesting because there are some places where you can see the overlap. Not just in the fact that it's Square, not just in the fact that there's a couple of assets and even one boss that's like ripped out of the Final Fantasy universe. Not even because of the name, but just, I don't know, there's vibe and there's look of characters and there's a whole lot of things that feel like it came from the same place, but the majority of what it is distinct.
A lot of the character look and the story, that's more Mana. There's no crystals, which are like a common theme throughout Final Fantasy.
Even the naming of the weapons, and some of that's just generic like fantasy tropes for games at the times, but there's a lot of Final Fantasy influence here.
It's going to bother me.
Regardless of where you draw that line, I think we all agree that it's a distinct game. It's not even the same type of game. This is not turn-based classic JRPG. This is action RPG and more Legend of Zelda in gameplay than Final Fantasy, any of the early ones in gameplay.
Sure.
Because you're navigating dungeons that are kind of puzzle-based, and it's real-time combat, you know, that's happening in the overworld, not turn-based strategy. But it does take a couple of classic RPG elements that aren't included in typical action RPGs, where you get to actually level up and choose stats for your character and, you know, equip more items and inventory than in something. So it really lives in kind of this middle ground of who it's trying to be.
For those of you that might be looking online right now or doing a Google search for this game, Final Fantasy Adventure will get you to the main information, but you might find out that this game is also called Seiken Densetsu Final Fantasy Gaiden. It's also called Mystic Quest, not to be confused with the, was it Super Nintendo Mystic Quest video game?
I don't remember.
And this game was also just called Seiken as well. So like this game had many different names for it. When it came over to the States, that's when it became Final Fantasy Adventure. Final Fantasy was tagged onto it from the very start with the Japanese name, but when it went to Europe, it got rid of the Final Fantasy name. So it's all over the place.
And it could get even more confusing. In development, it was referred to as Geminites.
Geminites, which is a part of the story.
It becomes a big part of the story.
Which?
There's not a witch in the story.
Yeah, there is. Of course there is.
I just was trying to ruin every joke ever. So let's talk plot. Your character is in the classic situation of being a gladiator, basically. He is.
Well, yes, but
he is.
Classic.
But is that a classic situation?
Sure.
That we
Have
all
we
find
ever
ourselves
watched the
in
the movie Gladiator.
It is classic to the movie Gladiator.
No, it's bigger than that. It's so the main one of the main protagonists starts the game enslaved by the Dark Lord, and is quickly watches. Spoiler alerts, first 2 minute spoiler alerts. One of his good friends die. Finds out that the Dark Lord and his sidekick are planning to take over the world by taking on the power of the tree of mana. And then you have to go and stop them.
Yeah, and you find a girl along the way that has a connection to the mana tree. Neither of these main characters have names. You give them names at the beginning.
Well, and Fuji.
In a later release, they're given those two names. But in Final Fantasy Adventure, you've just got a blank slate. You're to give them names. However, it said boy and girl in the name slot at the top. So in my first play, I accidentally didn't name them. So when all my
you just
dialogue
hit enter
was coming,
you thought that was their names.
Yeah, and you would have known if you would have watched my first play. But it was just blank for both guy and girl. So all my dialogue was completely messed up.
Nice.
It was bad.
That's awesome. Classic story, whatever, trolling, but like it's so not, and I like that because usually the Final Fantasy trope is you are some random boy and you are now all of a sudden have to stop this Dark Lord, but
you are employed
by the Dark Lord, which I think is pretty cool, it stood out to me, and then you like escape. I don't know. I actually like the plot in this game, and I didn't expect it to be unique.
Gameplay.
When you said Zelda, Kenny, that's actually a really good description of how I would tell someone what this game was like if they didn't see it, because it is that top-down classic Zelda view that, I mean, I associate with Zelda, obviously, but I think a lot of people do. And You don't, it's not turn-based, as you said, so you're free roam fighting, like an adventure game. So, once again, it's not a Final Fantasy game.
That is one of the things that makes it distinct from Final Fantasy, where up until some recent games, you're going into distinct, separate turn-based battles. Now, they've loosened that whole thing in recent iterations of Final Fantasy, don't know if that's specific anymore. But Final Fantasy or not, it is an ARPG, similar, as we've already said, to the original Zelda games or our recently played Crystalis. I got a lot of Crystalis vibes this week.
Sure.
We played Crystalis 2 games ago, right before Bejeweled, and it was very comparable in so many ways. I know also connected to Zelda, but you get different weapons, and those weapons are used in the overworld to be able to navigate through different terrains. So all of that was Crystalis and Zelda as well. You've got multiple weapons. I think that's a key thing here that we're talking about. In Crystalis, you're upgrading your sword and their charges and what they could burst through. But here you've got different weapons that not only do different amounts of damage, but that have different mechanical values in the real world.
Yeah, the utility of those things is one of the things that I fell in love with, think in this game's like novelty. It wasn't just, hey, let's like give you weapons, but let's make sure the things we give you have purpose. And so the moment I found that your like chain-based weapons could grab something almost hookshot style and pull you across chasms was the moment that my brain almost exploded. And hookshot. I was like, this game tries so hard.
What? And so you held that against it for trying hard?
No, it was a good thing.
Okay, yeah. So yes, I agree. And some of the other things that do link it to more of an RPG are the statistic-based things. Oh, so you're still leveling up and gaining XP as you kill these things. You have a HUD that doesn't just have like a heart count. It's got your HP, your magic,
and it's got that like ATB bar, whatever that is. And I think Crystalis had that as well. That's a time-based filling bar that when the higher it is, the more damage it does. And you can do quick attacks. It does less damage and doesn't fill up the bar. And then when it's full to the max, most of your weapons have like an increased ability during that time, during that one hit.
And your magic hits harder as well.
Your magic is a part of it?
Your magic, also is affected by the bar.
Really?
If the bar is full, your magic hits for like four times the amount of normal damage.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. Like it's a huge buff.
Yeah, it's
But it's also kind of hard to fill at first.
It's slow. Yeah, it takes a while. And especially if you've got a lot of enemies on the screen, like you're not going to be waiting for that. You're just going to be, you know, spamming attack. But it does put a little bit of strategy involved in that because you're trying to wander around, let your bar fill before you attack again. And one of the things I really appreciated is that sometimes that extra ability when the bar was filled, depending on which weapon you had, turned your spear, for example, into a projectile. So instead of just being that one swing close, you can launch it across the screen and it can hit multiple enemies.
Right, which is amazing.
Super cool. It's also super cool that if you're impatient for those extra cool moves and you just feel like that's a part of the gameplay you want, that you can level up your character in a way that like gets your bar regeneration going faster if that's important to you, because you have control over where you put your stat points and you don't normally get that in games like this.
Which one is that? Right. Stamina or wisdom?
Oh, that's will.
Will.
Okay, so you've got power, stamina, wisdom, and will. My guess was that power was your physical damage, stamina was your health, wisdom was your magic damage, and then will was, I thought, what would be your magic resistance, but you're saying it had to do with the
I think
the
it was recharge rate.
And you were closer than I was.
Interesting. So I was following a guide this week because that's what I do, and I was just switching one level up. I would increase power. The next, I would increase wisdom. The next, I would increase power. The next, I would increase wisdom.
Just like powerhouse.
And it would bring all my stats up together, you know, slowly but surely, because it's still you're still increasing other stats. It's you're just determining which one you want to increase most.
It's sort of a primary stat, and then it like pulls some others up with it.
Honestly, they give you quite a bit of options with this game, which could have just been simply you have one weapon and you swing it and that's all you do.
And that's what some games are.
Huh?
And that's what some games are.
Yeah, sure. And it's okay, right? Like Zelda does that.
It can be, yeah.
Mostly. But here, I was expecting that and I would have been okay with it. But I was also just pleasantly surprised that they gave me many options with like how to build my freaking character in a Game Boy game. And then also with the different utility the weapons provided, I was having viable options too.
My understanding, I didn't try this. I took a more typical approach of also kind of keeping a balanced character. But my understanding is you can do this game as like a magical playthrough and kind of, you know, still get your weapons, but not put any points into your power and level up your wisdom and your stuff and just spell your way all the way through it if you choose to, even though that's non-typical. And the fact that they gave you those choices and had magic skills that were viable and also a vast array of weapons that were interesting and had utility and had like benefits and negatives depending on what enemy you fought, though not as annoyingly as Crystallis, was super, super cool.
You don't have – so in Crystallis, there were some limitations, just poor implementation of where you couldn't even do damage to certain enemies or bosses until you were a certain level or had a certain weapon. That is not here in Final Fantasy Adventure. You can fight anyone at any time. You're probably going to get wrecked if you don't have the right level or right weapon, but you can fight them. And then you've talked about the magic a few times. There's nothing like unique here. Unless y'all saw something or found something or got to a place that I didn't. But, I mean, you've got your standard curative, you know, restoration spells, and then you've got your attack spells like fire and ice and others. But there's, I think you get up to like 12 different spells, so there are a good amount for a Game Boy ARPG. But none of them are like entirely unique.
Yeah, I built strictly like power. I didn't really even put any points into my wisdom because that's how I play these games. I just swing. So like, I don't know. I got that battle axe and I was like, okay, this is good because it's so freaking broad, the swing. I was having a blast.
Did you chop down every tree in the world when you realized that axes would let you chop down trees?
I was just swinging everything, dude. It's so good and enjoyable. Like, it was so satisfying. And something else here, like besides the battle system and besides the item and the upgrade system that I found very fun is exploring. Like I felt like I had a lot of places to go from the get-go. Like I was trying out different caves that I found. I was like just exploring the world that felt kind of alive with how many enemies were on the screen and like, I don't know, the river going through the fields and then you stumble upon this the tower or the cave, the castle thing. I really enjoyed exploring this Game Boy, again, game.
That is, if you're not using a guide, you are going to, and some people love to play like this, I think even maybe the majority, is just kind of wander around and come across what you come across and see if you can take on those things. Exploration is huge here because you're not limited by tons. Now, Kenny, you mentioned the trees and the axe to chop down the trees. There are going to be places that you can't go, but that's a game doing a good job, not just letting you go places immediately and get wrecked. But I never felt like I was limited, because there's so much to explore, so much to go. The map is awful, by the way. Did y'all ever open that up?
Yeah, it's just once.
Once. Like, it's God. It's a grid of probably, I don't know, 150 squares.
That's how all those Game Boy, like the Game Boy Zeldas had terrible maps like that, where you're like, how am I even supposed to look at this?
I felt like the classic Final Fantasy maps were decently well done, but yeah.
Yes, Final Fantasy, but this wasn't a Final Fantasy game.
I mean, it is Final Fantasy Adventure, and there's...
Well,
emphasis on the adventure.
Emphasis on the adventure, Final Fantasy Lite. Okay, so we did mention a few of the things that are in Final Fantasy. There is a chocobo that you can ride, and once I discovered that you can ride it and not get hit by enemies, which is other Final Fantasy games, I just, you know, you don't get into combat, that was super nice. So if I needed to just get from one location to another quickly, that was super, super nice. And it had the chocobo theme, like the music that played. Yeah, so that was cool. You can get turned into Moogles by some enemies, which is just kind of a temporary status where you can't do any attacks or damage. What other like straight up Final Fantasy things are there?
I think those are the only super overt things. I thought character models looked somewhat similar to some of theirs.
I know you said that.
Again, There's like one boss that's straight out of a Final Fantasy.
Some of the character models. You said character models. There's the Black Mage, like character model from the start of Final Fantasies, as well as the Red Mage and the White Mage. Yeah. And a thief. I think all of those classes from the original, like Final Fantasy, those character models are in here as well.
And the main character kind of looks like a fighter too, to me.
Yeah, totally. While we're talking about characters and their appearance in this game, can we talk about the really unique way that this game does NPCs? Because I think it's one of the things that sets this game apart and is the most really novel and sets up the fact that future games in the Mana series allow you to go multiplayer, which is one of the reasons that we absolutely adored those games when we got to play them. And that is that you can literally have NPCs that join you on your ARPG adventures out in the world. And so you might have a character that follows you around that if you need damage can throw a bunch of ranged attacks, or you can have one that helps you like cure statuses or all kinds of different things that these NPCs bring with them and like pack for you, especially in places where you don't have something yet. And then often are the ones that kind of like teach you those skills. And so it feels like a really natural way of not only progressing the story, but giving variety to gameplay. It's a precursor to multiplayer. And I found it was super duper creative.
It felt like multiplayer at times. Like, it felt wrong because Game Boy didn't have that. But when you did have that mage, just kind of like its AI throwing fireballs on the screen with you, it felt like you're playing with somebody. And it's interesting that you said it's a precursor. You think they used this as like inspiration for doing multiplayer RPGs later?
I think it feels kind of like that, especially for where this series goes with kind of co-op gameplay in the future. I think it certainly, I don't know if that was an intentional decision of like, hey, someday all our games are going to connect. Let's like shout out to that early. I think it was more a kind of happy accident, but it definitely shows their sort of thought process and their willingness to give you something beyond just your character, which is really
nice. When you rescue the first girl, I was worried that it was going to be an escort mission kind of feel, but it never really felt like that, especially when you get like some powerful friends that follow you sometimes.
I thought it was good in theory and not the best in implementation, although this is the first, you know, that I know of to do this. And so I can allow some of that, or it's permissible. But most of my NPCs that were following me weren't accurately or successfully attacking the enemy when I was fighting them. It was more just random shooting of
they're
magic.
Pretty dumb. It's just a guy throwing axes across the screen for no reason and swinging swords at enemies that aren't there. And it's a little silly, but I thought the attempt was novel and it felt like the Mana series to me. And I don't know. I really enjoyed the fact that took a risk. I guess it's not risky that they did something unique and included that aspect.
I will say this, as someone that loves Final Fantasy and in large part because of the story, I appreciate that each of these NPC characters that party up with you for a little while are a part of the story. It's not just some random tag along. They all have a part to play. Some of them end up being not who you thought they were. Some of them end up they're all a part of the narrative. There is one narrative moment in here, seriously, that was emotionally gripping when another character lost someone that was close to them. It was during right after the Medusa fight. I don't know if you remember that, but and then had to become Medusa herself, and so she pled. Right? Is that the past tense of plead?
Yes.
Pleaded?
No.
For the main character, for Sumo yourself, to end her life so that she wouldn't become that. Like,
yeah,
there are some really good story elements. And for the Game Boy.
For the Game Boy.
I've been marveling at some of the games we played for the Game Boy or other like handheld that have so many limitations because of the mode of how we're gaming, yet did so much with so little. And this is another one that packs a lot of story into a small little cartridge.
Aged. As we get into how this game aged and the things that it came out on and got re-released. I need to hear more about Nolan's experience of playing this game on a cell phone. Because you dropped that little hint, and then you didn't give us any juicy details.
On a flip phone.
So in high school, I had like, it was either a Razor or maybe it wasn't even a flip phone. It was one of those era phones though. And I was looking at the games that I could get on it. And I saw Final Fantasy Adventure or Mystic Quest or whatever it was called on there and downloaded it. And you use the, I didn't even have like arrow buttons. I used the numbers to like move left and right. And then like 1 and 3 were my A and B buttons.
That's so crazy.
And I didn't get far because playing on that is the worst experience of my life.
Yeah, where your A and B buttons get in the way of you moving around in a real time action RPG.
It wasn't
like a terrible idea.
But at the time I was like, dude, I got Final Fantasy game on my phone.
That is impressive. I'm surprised that I haven't played it because like a time in my life where when we all lived together, pretty much, that I was like, I need to play all the Final Fantasies. So I didn't just go through and play the mainline games again. I tried to grab all of the other games. I don't know why I wouldn't have played this one.
I feel
one.
Like people just ignore this one. Not that they're not maybe intentionally, but they just, it gets lost, I think. And I think it's because of the naming that's going on here. And also just like, the fact that a lot of people think it's not truly a Final Fantasy or in the Final Fantasy series.
There's another Final Fantasy Game Boy game, isn't there?
I want to say there is.
Is there a Final Fantasy Adventure 2?
No.
Or no?
There's just Seiken Densetsu.
Let me see.
This is the prequel to that game.
Well, no. Final Fantasy Legend is the other Game Boy game. I knew there was another one. And that series continues. So Final Fantasy Adventure is a Game Boy game that is not Final Fantasy. I think Final Fantasy Legend, that series, is Final Fantasy.
Yeah,
I'm glad this isn't confusing at all.
It's got turn-based in Legend, it looks like. So there's Legend 1, 2, and 3 on the Game Boy.
Yeah. So I knew that there were others. One of the things that got lost here, I think, anytime that games are brought over late to the States and translated into English, things are lost. Yeah. I don't know if you caught that, but some of the story elements, I felt like the oomph wasn't there because of the translations. It wasn't distracting because we played some games where we're like, okay, we could have translated better than this. I don't know about for this one, but some of it I felt like the heart behind it didn't make it across.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
I don't know if it was great not translated. You know, like in the original, I think it might have been still kind
could
of
it's been like poorly and simply written.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. But I mean, I can't prove that obviously, but like again, I like what they wanted to do with the plot, with you already being like in employment of the evil character. But I agree, like some of the text is like, hey, you get back here. And it's like, that's the bad guy. Come on.
I mean, and even Dark Lord and
just naming him Dark Lord. And then they just don't even try that hard. You have an encounter with him like immediately at the beginning of the game where you realize what he's plotting. And instead of killing you easily while you're level one,
yeah, he runs after you.
Yeah, he just shoves you off a cliff that's not lethal. I don't know.
Whatever. I can give it to some of there, especially when for a 90, what was this, 91?
91.
91 Game Boy. We've got 2 save files. Anytime we're early and we've got the ability to save, I'm going to mention that here in age. When we've got the ability to save 2 different files, I'm definitely going to mention that.
Yeah, and save anywhere too.
Right, and the save anywhere, I think, is what's novel.
Even in caves.
Right, mm-hmm. It's not just like go to an inn and save or return to a save point and save. It's just save your game.
I tested that because I wanted to see. So I saved right before a boss, like actually like on the ladder down to fight a boss. And then I died in the boss. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do my save state here. I'm going to see if I actually where I show up. Like, do I show up back in a town or do I show up at the beginning of this castle? I showed up right there on the ladder, but right where I saved it.
Yeah, that's how it should be. I like
That's none of the games that are like this.
A little dangerous because you have the option of saving yourself into like unwinnable states.
Yeah, you can get careful. Locked. Yeah.
Just anytime you have open saves like that, especially in these early games, you have to watch out for that. But it's still super welcome in my mind versus I got to hoof it all the way back and like save it a place.
Well, and one of those dangers has to do with you need a couple of items to go through dungeons in this game. One are keys that you have to purchase or find.
That's weird.
To unlock locked doors. And then the second is a mattock, or it's a pickaxe. Yeah, to be able to get through certain walls. If you're out of those, you can lock yourself. If you've saved, you can lock yourself in where you have to start in an earlier save or start the game over. And that's poor design.
I don't know how they could have gotten around that either. It's like if you give the ability to save anywhere, that has to happen somewhere.
Right. It's just dangerous to do that. Unless you have so many guards on like gameplay kinds of things that it's almost unrealistic, especially at 91 Game Boy, to expect them to be able to program around every one of those possibilities.
I think one solution, and I only got locked like that once, but I just went back a room and kept fighting the enemies that were spawning there, and eventually one of them dropped some mattocks. So like I was able to overcome my problem, but I had read and seen that some people that you can lock yourself in this, and that's not good.
By the way, I got so excited every time an enemy dropped a chest. It's so satisfying and rewarding when that happens.
I didn't, because my inventory was full from the start till the end, so I couldn't pick anything up.
I was shocked at how accessible this game is, being on Game Boy, being black and white, being like slow in nature at some points, like just based on how that console usually operates. I was able to just start the game and feel familiar, because remember, you only have two buttons. Well, you have start and select, but you have A and B and a D-pad. And so, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, but even still, sometimes I find on Game Boy that it's frustrating or it's not doing what I want it to do. But in this case, it's just like, go. Like, just play Zelda, in my mind, but with the Final Fantasy Psyche and Densetsu skin. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah, I thought they did well making your A attack and attack only, but B being your secondary attack. So if you equip an item, and there was a lot of menuing, but I don't know how you get around it with Game Boy. You have to.
I like
you. So whether you're using an item or a spell, you have to go into the menu, go into the item or magic menu, select your spell or item, which equips it to your B button, and then you always use your B button to send that off. At the beginning, I accidentally cast some magic or used a mattock where I didn't want to, but eventually I got that under control. And I thought that was, really good implementation for such limitations.
It was. And again, the menuing isn't great, but I didn't feel like it was forcing me as much to swap things back and forth and back and forth. Crystallis, it was almost game-breakingly annoying at certain points.
Yeah.
But this game I felt like had an appropriate amount of that.
I thought they did good for a series that goes to a wheel inventory system. Do you remember that from Second Densetsu 3?
Yes, how it becomes a wheel?
It's one of the things we said they did the best, was their creative menuing in later games in the series.
Yeah, the interactive ones where you're like moving a character through a room in your menu.
Soundtrack?
Solid. Although the Final Fantasy music in the menu was not there, and that was weird.
Because it's not Final Fantasy. Exactly.
Okay, so we're deciding it's not. I was for sure expecting the, the jingle.
No, I'm firmly in the not camp.
About the music in general?
No. About Final Fantasy. Game Boy music is always going to be a little Game Boy grady. I thought the music itself, like the music that was written, was great. In my mind, it's as good as you're going to get on Game Boy, but it's Game Boy music.
But Game Boy music, chiptunes, that can be beautiful, and this is top of the line. I mean, this is expertly created. And so many different tracks. Again, in my first play, I noted, I was like, we're a minute in, and I've heard three different melodies so far. I thought they did remarkable there. Nothing was redundant or just replay a small bit over and over and over again. It was really nice.
Yeah, considering Game Boy's limitations, I also thought it looked really nice.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Nice?
So much detail.
Amazing?
Like, clear and...
It looked so good.
For what you're on, they did a really, really good job of communicating what was going on, of making things feel as large and as interactive as they could. A lot of times Game Boy just like suffers from this lack of clarity or really small focus or tries to compensate weirdly, but they absolutely nailed it here.
Plenty of enemy animations and designs. Like there's a lot of variety there. It wasn't just like recycled assets. The weapon animations looked great. They even tried to do like sprites for menu items. Like, I mean, it's black pickaxe. Like it doesn't have anything special, but at least they tried instead of just making a bland text list. Yeah. The water looked really good. The graphics were very impressive.
Yeah. There is a 2003 Game Boy Advance remake. They retitled it Sword of Mana, and they stripped all of the Final Fantasy elements from it and reworked the story a little bit. So hardcore fans didn't like that. But if you're trying to have a little bit of a more modern take with a slightly upgraded story, just at least in the storytelling, then that might be for you. And then it's also now a part of the collection of Mana anthology that's on Switch. So I know some of our listeners played it that way this week. But if you want a copy of the Game Boy title, you can get that for just $25. There's plenty. There's not tons of them out there, but it's not too expensive. If you want one brand new, you're going to be putting out $150 or so. But you can get yourself a copy of Final Fantasy Adventure or Seiken Densetsu Final Fantasy Gaiden or Mystic Quest or Seiken or whatever, and play it if you want.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episode, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I'll begin and say it's not a Final Fantasy game, but that's fine. There's other great games that are not Final Fantasy games. It's on the Game Boy in 91, and it's a remarkable title for that. I will say I played a lot this week, and getting deeper in, I'm probably about 2/3 of the way through. The difficulty ramps up, and some of the unfairness, like a boss battle that I was in, was like, you've just got to get lucky here, or just, you know, there's some frustrations later in the game. So I don't think everybody needs to beat it, but I do think it would be great for everybody to have an experience with this game. It's a remarkable title. Wish more people knew about it. It's beautiful. It sounds great. It's a great action RPG and should be played. So I definitely give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
I'll agree. It's New Game Plus status worthy. I planned on not saying a lot just because I expected to need to get out of the way because I thought, Dustin, you were going to like this game even more and rave about it even more. And my plan this whole time was just to like briefly agree with you and let you do your thing. But unsurprisingly, I also enjoyed this game. It's well-crafted, it shows, and games that are built with love and attention are almost always more fun. And this one was pretty good across the board. No major complaints. Fun to have a good action RPG on Game Boy, surprisingly. New Game Plus for sure.
And I agree. I think people should play it to see some of the more like advanced Game Boy games that were on there. Game Boy Advance, because I think it, in a lot of ways, it has a lot of impressing moments where you go, wow, like that's shouldn't be on this console, but it is. So yeah, New Game Plus.
That's 3 votes, meaning Final Fantasy Adventure is New Game Plus certified. But what did you think? We had multiple people write in. Rom Page wrote in saying, first time playing along with the NGP team, but have been listening for about a year. I don't have much experience with Final Fantasy past Super Nintendo, but I get the general idea of what it is and the gameplay mechanics. This game seems to branch away from the formula into the more action-oriented gameplay. I got far enough to actually really enjoy the game after I figured out what I was doing. Definitely felt some nostalgic vibes that reminded me a lot of the Game Boy Advance Zeldas, which are some of my all-time favorite games. That and maybe a mix of Secret of Mana on SNES would be my best description of what style of gameplay it has. So far, my thoughts is that it is NGP material, and I'll definitely play on, as I'm always looking for great handheld titles to get into.
Who was this? Who wrote it?
Rom Page.
Rom Page. Long time listener, first time donator.
Okay.
GDQ.
Yeah, I... Again, being able to play a game like this on handheld, that's what makes it like shoots it even over the top. And we're playing this week probably at a stationary station, but if I was able to take this on the go, that shoots it up even
more.
Yeah,
for sure.
In my book,
I definitely played it on my Surface a little bit this week, so I played it mobile.
Nolan's played it on his flip phone.
I got my phone right here.
he pulled out his Razer.
Yeah,
and played the whole week on that.
Garlisle said, "So close to Trials of Mana's release, it's a perfect time." Are y'all offended that I say mana like that? Should I say mana?
I say mana.
That's one that it's potato potato. It's
no one should say potato, right?
Okay, it's gif jif. Like
okay.
No one should say GIF.
No, well, no one should say GIF. That's gross and wrong.
That's inappropriate and wrong. But it's like yellow and yellow. All right, so it is a perfect time to go back and see how the Mana series began. And I'm proud to say I finished it just in time this week. There are a lot of similarities here to Crystallis from a couple of weeks back, from structure to even some of the same issues from technical limitations. To this game's advantage, its customization systems are well-designed and enabling rather than potentially crippling, and its pattern-based boss fights let you go as over- or under-leveled as you want. To its disadvantage, keys and mattocks exist and aren't just irritating. I ran out and got myself permanently stuck in a dungeon once. Having said that, this game's fun. Among Game Boy titles, it is remarkable for its length, variety, and storytelling, all of which make it worth looking past its flaws.
Maybe there should have been like an escape rope situation, like from Pokemon, where if you use it, it takes you to the beginning of a cave.
Oh, easy. That would have been the fix right there.
Yeah, like in the menu, leave as an option or something, and then it just warps you.
I don't know about, I guess a magic or, well, I think an item, an escape rope, that would have been a great idea. I do think that it is also remarkable, we didn't know, Garlisle just did, about the length of this game. I think it's 15 hours of just standard gameplay. That's a lot for
a Game
Boy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's a chunk, dude.
Oh my God, I'm shocked.
What other Game Boy game is 15 hours?
None of them. Literally none of them. That's crazy.
I mean, most every Game Boy game I played took me more than 15 hours to beat. But that's just because I'm bad at games.
Yes.
Dang.
Zach wrote in and said, I wanted to first say that Dustin is right about Stranger Things and Dr. Mario. Both are overrated. Now, on to the Final Fantasy Adventure.
Wow.
I've never actually played a Final Fantasy game before. And after this week, I still haven't. No new game plus.
Wow. First of all, play a freaking Final Fantasy.
I mean, it wasn't a Final Fantasy game, so that's right. He's half right on everything he says.
He's all right. But Zach, go play Final Fantasy
games.
Yeah,
go play like 15 or something.
Or 6. McBain, finally, he wrote in very briefly and said, Zelda plus RPG equals fun. It's flawed, yes, but I don't care. I love the Game Boy New Game Plus for me.
Yeah, I was playing Zelda this week for the most part. Yes.
Yeah.
And then you also played this game. No. We know you were playing A Link to the Past. So
oh
much
yeah,
this
week.
Guy
A Link
is
to the Past. Get off the podcast.
To Link to the Past. All right, guys, we are setting aside Final Fantasy Adventure, and we are randomly selecting the game that we're going to be playing the next 7 days alongside Final Fantasy VII Remake, and it is. We're going to be trying to play a 1994 Super Famicom game. Role-playing, single-player, developed and published by Angel. The Japanese name for it is...
No, try it. You gotta commit.
Oka Upa.
Bisoujo Senshi Sailor Moon.
What?
But translated into English, it is Pretty Soldier Sailor Moon Another Story. So, guys, I don't know if you're being over track with me. We're about to play a manga anime game about young girls that are guardians. So
the show, Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon, which is the first anime to come over to the United States.
Yes. Oh my god. Anime, this is my worst nightmare.
Okay. The game has never been officially released outside of Japan, although fan translations exist, so we'll try to find one of those this week. Oh, that's
gonna be interesting.
And hopefully our wives don't walk in on us while we're playing this game.
Yeah. Isn't your wife a fan of Sailor Moon or something?
No.
You're thinking of Bejeweled?
Oh, right.
You're thinking of Pokemon. Because it came right before or after The Simpsons. Anyways, find a copy of Bisoujo Senshi Sailor Moon or Pretty Silly Soldier Sailor Moon, another story.
I guess join our community and talk about this game. You can go to ngppodcast.com and click join us on Discord. We have a thriving server. It's not too big, so like you can meet people, people will see you, you'll have fun, so come hang out.
We have two people who specifically decided to support us as patrons because it's a Sailor Moon game that just got picked. So shout out to Skinny Matt and Astral Soul for your support of Sailor Moon.
Thank you.
No, I jest, but appreciate you guys hopping on the patron bandwagon. And a big thanks to Ben, Dear Baby, Garlisle, Corey, Maxima, Shauna, Zach, and Zion. You guys are amazing producers, and we're so appreciative.
I think it is Kenny's time to do first play this week.
It's not.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I think it is, Kenny, if we're going through rotations.
It doesn't matter. I'm not. I refuse.
I remember.
It's you, bud.
It's not happening.
I remember it being you.
You did Mary-Kate and Ashley Magical Mystery Mall, so you also have to do this.
I've done my time, and Nolan was the one to complain about this being the worst thing that ever happened to him. It's his reactions people want to see.
Find us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Pretty Soldier Sailor Moon, another story. Be on the lookout for Kenny's first play this week. I'm still Dustin.
I'm not playing a first play.
I'm Sumo.
And this has been New Game Plus.